you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, you'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in. Hello, friends. Lee Brown, and welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know that you're going to love this woman as much as I do. Wendy Mason is from the greater Washington, D.C. area. And she's got one actual real estate story, but then she sneaks in a little bit of personal life too there. Just trust me, this is the kind of woman you want to have as your realtor in your corner. So enjoy this episode. I'll see you on the other side. Before we get any further into this episode, I've got some information to share. Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content. Wendy, I'm so glad to have you on the podcast here at Crazy Shit in Real Estate.
Thank you for having me.
And I maybe should have recorded earlier, because I feel like you and I could talk for days about things that are totally not related, but are kind of related, which is always real estate. Everything comes back into our vertical. So tell my audience where you're located, how long you've been doing real estate, what you did before real estate, any little tidbits they should know to give them some insights. And by the way, friends, go on and find her on Instagram, because her videos will make you laugh, and she's super smart and funny too.
I'm Wendy. I am the real estate therapist, not really a therapist, but as a realtor, we are therapists. And so I am in the DC, Washington metropolitan area. I've been doing real estate for 18 years. And before that, I was in sales. I did educational sales. Actually, that's how I met my husband. That's another story within itself. But anyway, so then I got tired of the corporate life because I was on the road all the time. I traveled a lot. And my husband said, we got married. And then he said, well, quit and figure out what you want to do next. And I said, I'm going to get a real estate license. So I got my real estate license in 2003. And then right after I got my license, one day I was like, oh, I didn't feel good, whatever. And I was like 43 years old. I found out I was pregnant. And then I was like, oh, shit. I said, oh, does shit still work? Oh, my gosh. So I had my son at 44. And then my husband said, okay, do something with that real estate license. And I said, okay. So I got into real estate, started selling real estate. That was what, in 2004, the market started tanking in 2007. And then at that time you had to, like, to stay in the game, you always had to learn whatever the new avenue was of real estate, because otherwise you were just going to go down. And so I started working with investors, and that's my real estate life. And so that's where the crazy shit started happening, y'all.
I love that you had just a couple of years to learn some stuff before the market went down. So when you were working with investors, did you lean into short sales and foreclosures and all of the wild stuff that was happening between 8 and 13?
No, I leaned into short sales. And actually, I was the first person in my office to do a short sale, and nobody knew what a short sale was. And at that time, banks were not making the decisions on what contract they were going to take. It was the insurance company, whoever has the insurance to these loans, they made the decision of, and you would just call them up and you would say, I have these two offers or these three offers. And they would ask you, how much were they? And they said, okay, that's the one we're going to take. They always took the one with the highest offer. And that's what short sales were. And the only people in the game were the investors. So then you had to learn the investor market. And investors were coming out all over because they had cash. And so I remember going into, okay, now we're going to get into some crazy shit, y'all. So one time I went with an investor to a house. This is in D.C., And I would always wear boots, rubber boots, because you just never knew what you were going to go walk into. The doors were boarded, so you had to have like a electronic screwdriver or something so you could get into the house. And because a lot of times they were boarded up. And one time I walked in and there was feces all over the wall. I mean, you talk about gross. Oh my gosh, that shit was nasty. No pun intended. Okay, maybe pun intended.
So what you're saying is the shit actually did hit the fan and it splattered the walls.
Exactly. Whatever. Yes, exactly. But and actually, Halee ended up asking me on this. We were on Clubhouse and the topic of the day was, what was your first real estate transaction? And this is no lie. My first real estate transaction was a friend of mine. So they always said, you know, contact your sphere of influence. So my friend Wilson, who works for Microsoft, he said, and I said, come on, Wilson. I said, you need to start getting into real estate. All he knew was the stock market. And so I talked him into buying this house. He said, okay, find me a house that's like $200,000. I'm not paying any more than $200,000. I said, okay, fine. So I found him this house that was in Capitol Heights, Maryland, which is right on the line of Southeast, which Southeast was like it, where it is. Actually, it's changing now, but Southeast was like the worst part of D.C., okay? So got this contract. We got the offer under contract. The house was under contract, and 10 o'clock was a home inspection. Now, at that time, I was with a broker out in Potomac, Maryland. If anybody knows where Potomac, Maryland, it's where the hoity-toity live, okay? And the hoity-toity agent that was in there, now, mind you, I'm brand new to this, okay? And she says, oh, I have a home inspector for you. And he was out in Frederick, Maryland. Well, this guy, okay, so we're in the black neighborhood. That's where the house was. This guy, it lives out in the all-white neighborhood. I don't think he'd have been to an all-black neighborhood, okay? I'm just painting the picture for you.
So he was about to expand his horizons.
So we go to this house, and it was at 10 o'clock. So I get there at 10 o'clock. Obviously, they're there early before I was. So I guess they got in there a little bit early before me. So they were in the house. And so then I said, oh, because I didn't see it. I saw one car. I saw Wilson's car, but I didn't see any other cars. And so I said, oh, they must be inside. So I go inside, and we go through the whole inspection. And so he comes out and he said, the best thing you all could do with this house is tear it down. Well, anybody knows in real estate, you don't tear down anything. It's just, you know, the inside of it. Yeah, you just rehab it. So we come outside and he's talking. And all of a sudden he says, where's my truck? I was like, what truck? There was no truck out here. His Jeep. His Jeep, y'all, had been stolen. And not only stolen, his wallet was in the truck.
Oh, no.
And they had, I mean, so they must have been just laying for him because, like I said, I got there at 10. They had to have gotten there like maybe 5 up, 10 up. It was gone. And so what made it even worse, we called the police. Police never showed up.
Ever?
Police never. Nope. We stood out there and we stood. I felt so bad for that man. And then Wilson, my client, said, I'll take him home because he really felt bad. And so, but the guy said, he said, I'm never coming to this neighborhood again. So.
I've never experienced that before. And so you don't have to ask the follow-up. Did Wilson buy the house?
Of course not. No. Look, and he never did. Actually, you know what is so funny? Wilson called me yesterday because he's getting ready to buy a house, his first house ever, and right outside of Atlanta. His sister is talking him into buying this house as an investment property. So now he's calling me up he said, well, did you know any hard money lenders? And so that's a whole other story within itself. But yes, but here it is 18 years later now. And he said, I should have listened to you. I said, you never listen to me anyway.
You know what they call that? They call that the regret fee. He's regretting not listening to you 18 years ago. So there's a regret fee attached to your relationship with Wendy.
Wait a minute. This is the same guy who asked me to start a company with him. He said, come on, you know sales. And I started, and we were going to start a government contracting company because he's technology and I am sales. And I would stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning writing business plans and what have you. And so finally, we were going to partner with this company, and I got an appointment with us at the Pentagon. Do you know, he asked to see me one day, and he came up to my car, and he said, I can't do this. He goes, I'm staying where I am. And so he quit on me. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I was so pissed off. And so, and I never moved forward with it because I don't know technology. I could get you appointments all day long, but I can't talk the lingo.
I'm just sitting here thinking there's a lot of people in the DMV area that are probably about to call you with their startup idea to hire you as their sales manager. If you can get into the freaking Pentagon, Wendy, holy smokes.
It's all about who you know. And my friends have this running joke with me. They say, you know everybody. And I go, no, I don't. But I do know a lot. I mean, I'm from here, so I do know a lot of people. I have a lot of connections. I can connect people. One of my girlfriends said, you really need to become a connector. And so then I read this book, Never Eat Alone. I think it's called, Never Eat Alone?
That's right.
Never Eat Alone. Is it called Never Eat Alone?
You're right.
And Right. I did. I read that book, but I couldn't figure out how to make money off of it. So you know what? I don't charge people, but I do connect people with other people.
Well, because it comes
to
you, right? So every one of those connections thinks about you as that realtor who helped them connect, and they bring you that business back. Because how much of your real estate business is referrals and people who've heard Wendy's name somewhere?
All of it has been referrals. And so, but I'm starting to, look, I'm getting out of my comfort zone. Those real things, those things are hard. And so,
but you know, you're good at it. I love that you sit here and say you can't do it, but you're doing it and you're quite good at it. Y'all, if you're not on Instagram, Wendy's talking about reels, which are 15 to 30 seconds and they're short form video. And she's brilliant, but she's sitting here denigrating. So go look and you'll see what I'm talking about.
And look, should I have been an actress? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway,
you should have been, but you still are. But actually,
you know,
for free now.
Say that again.
You're doing it for free, but you also make more money in real estate than you would as an actor right now.
Oh, this is very true.
That is so true. And they're not really working right now, so there's that.
But I do. So, you know, like 3 years ago, I decided to, okay, look, I know this is going to sound weird, but I got bored of just listing and selling houses. I was like, this is kind of boring after a while, you know?
It's not weird. What that demonstrates is that your level of skill is so high. You had still tried to grow, but you've done a lot of the growing in real estate. So that's a really big deal. A lot of agents never get there, Wendy.
That's interesting that you say that. And, you know, and I've never had a mentor, which I always say, I was talking to my girlfriend about this last night. She was kind of tipsy because she'd been drinking. I wasn't drinking. And so, but we were having this discussion about neither one of us have had really a mentor. And I say that to say, but I hired a coach last year. And so my coach really has been helping me. And so that's how I came up with, because I told her I'm a big idea person and it's hard for me sometimes to implement, but I can come up with the greatest ideas.
Right.
However, but so my whole thing is helping people in real estate. And so my focus now is to help distressed homeowners and not to give away the house to the investor, sorry, investors that come knocking at your door. And even though I've wholesaled before, and sometimes you have to because sometimes they don't get it. And their mindset is, if I hire a realtor, it's going to cost me money. Anybody thinks that they spend money, that they're going to lose money. And actually, if you hire an agent, you actually make more money. Because an investor, when an investor comes, what happens is they're trying to get it for the lowest price possible. And they'll sit there and tell you, oh, but if you hire an agent, you got to pay this percentage of commission. And so, but if you actually show them on paper the difference between hiring an agent and hiring one of those guys off of TV that says that they'll buy your house in 7 days, or an investor, statistics show you can net at least 11% or more than if you use an investor or an iBuyer, just to let you all know that out there.
And this matters because what Wendy's talking about is one of the big gaps we see in our society, and real estate is the cornerstone of generational wealth. And if somebody's grandma has a house that she's been in forever and she needs cash, these little letters that come from investors on handwritten pieces of legal pad that say, I'll buy your house for cash, and they're going to write her a check and get her out of, oh, no showings, no repairs. If they take an extra $20,000 or $30,000 that could have been in her pocket, y'all, you got to think about the fact that that's, for most people, that's their savings. That's what they have. And so if you sell for too little, that's a big gap in your future casting. So if you are listening to this and your parents or your grandparents or your friends, family, and cousin have gotten those little letters in the mailbox, always get a second opinion. That's what Wendy's talking about, is being that second opinion that says, here's a different scenario because it's your house and you want to think about all of the things that it represents in the future. I love that you're going out there to save people from those letters because it drives me crazy too.
And you don't have to fix your house up because, believe it or not, a lot of different repairs that you think you get a return on your investment, you really don't. So no, you don't have to. And the thing is, you don't have to sell at the top of the market. Even if you sell your house below market, you will still net more than if you sold it to that investor. So that's just an FYI.
I mean, the investor is protecting a profit margin, and investors are good and they perform a service in the market. All Wendy and I are saying is you should always get a second opinion, just like you would if you had a diagnosis from the doctor of getting pregnant at 43. She might have had taken more than one pregnancy test when you weren't feeling good.
I know.
I need a second opinion here.
Girl, I peed on that stick. That stick, look. I was like, it was the day before my husband and I were, actually, it was our 1-year anniversary.
Of course it was.
And so, and we were getting ready to go the next day to Cabo. Girl, I peed on that stick. And I was like, I'm fucking pregnant. I called him on the phone. I'm fucking pregnant. And then he goes, and I said, what are we going to do? He goes, have a baby. I was like,
I swear this is
the line. Okay, listen, my kids are 17 years apart. My daughter is 34. Okay, look, my husband is 13 years older than me. His daughter is like 46. My daughter's 34. My son is now 17, and we have 2 grandkids, okay? I know I look kind of good, but come on.
You look amazing. If you tell that story every time, nobody's ever going to look at what these wrinkles are.
People laugh. Yes, I'm over 60, and look, I am proud to say, look, but you know, the scary part is, damn, I'm headed towards 70. Lord, have mercy. Anyway, life is good.
You don't know it beats the alternative.
Oh, hell yeah, it beats the alternative. You're right about that.
Hey, Wendy, if somebody's looking for an amazing realtor in the DMV area, and in specific, if they want to talk to somebody who understands protecting wealth that has been built from generations, how can people reach you?
You can reach me at my email, which is R as in Robert, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, the letter Q. Real, R as in Robert, E-A-L, at gmail.com.
Which, because y'all weren't listening, and I know this because you're people related to real estate, it's all in the show notes for this episode, along with Wendy's social handle so that you can connect with her. And I highly recommend that if you have family members, you reach out to them and encourage second opinions, especially when they're in a market like DMV, where you can have somebody like Wendy who's going to tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not, and help you make great decisions. Wendy, I'm grateful to you, and I'm grateful to have met you on Clubhouse, and very excited to see what the next phase of life brings to you as you work with this coach, because something tells me there's big things in the works.
Thank you for having me, Lee.
Hey, friends, you should totally subscribe for more, but we'll see you next time on Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Go get back on the treadmill and get it done. We'll see you.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.